In this episode of CWL Drag Race Tea Time, it's almost to the end. Listen in as Gary and Damon spill all the tea as the queens act their way through a sexy city mockumentary and purr down the runway in their best cat couture. Which queens make it to the finale and which kitties take a cat nap? It's a meowsing second to the last lap at CWL Drag Race Tea Time, All Stars Season 4, Episode 9, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's Sunday, February 10th, 2019, and I want to welcome all of you to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, All-Stars Season 4, Episode 9, a.k.a. Sex and the Kitty Girl. Get ready with your tea mug, because it's going to happen. For those of you that don't know, there are two co-hosts of this fabulous show. One of them is me. My name's Gary. And then to my side over here, I got...
Hey everyone, this is Damon. Welcome to the show. Like he said, get your mugs ready. Get that hot water boiling, because tea is about to be distributed. Would you like one lump or two?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. So let's get ready to talk about what happened. Before we get into talking about the challenge, there is something that I want to get to from this particular episode in the beginning, and that would be this thing. So we have a little chit-chat. The girls get to, you know, have a little kiki about who went home and how they feel about that, and... Miss Monet Exchange, let it be known that her nickname is Petty. And she was not having any of it. And no matter what, Manila's ass was going to go home. Period.
Yes. And I want to say this much. I love like this that she's open about it and she's honest about it. And she's like, no, it. She was going home. I'm still feeling shade from when she saved her friend because she saved her friend and had nothing to do with the contest or the competition or talent or ability or how good you've been doing. It all had to do with the fact that Latrice was her friend and that's all she was going to do to save her. So Manila was Monet was still feeling salty about it. And I don't have a problem with her feeling that way because... So, like, my personal feeling is, like, hey, this is the end. We're at the end game, and maybe it may be a little petty. It is petty. It's totally petty. But, like, hey, this is the time to do it anyway. Like, look around you and look who's here and look how well you've been doing. And, like, bye. Like, I don't need you anymore. Like...
She definitely was from the opposite camp of Trinity. Trinity was, I want to go all the way to the end and fucking win because I went against the best competitor. And Monet was like, nope. She's like, that's not how I feel about it.
No.
And then you got Naomi over on other seat, and she was totally serving give no fucks, I don't care, send your ass home. Like, I love you. I think highly of you. I've always looked up to you, you old crone. Get the fuck out of my way. Me and my long legs gonna win this thing. I'm exaggerating, but that's, you know.
No. I mean, that's kind of the way I feel about it personally. I think that they really, you know, at this late a game... of the game, this is not the point to be like, oh, what's fair, what's right, what's just, you know, da da da. Well, like, no, like, I'm honestly, personally, I'm surprised that that kind of like mentality, that best friends race kind of thing, it's kind of gone down so for as long as it did, you know, because it's true. Like,
I think it works until you get to once you. This is gonna sound really bad. When you get rid of the riffraff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you actually have all stars on top of their game competing head to head. I think the report card thing makes sense up to that point, whatever you want to call it, like some type of, like, you know, grading system. But once you get to that point, all bets are off, bitches. Like, because pretty much when the playing field is leveled and everyone's kind of on the same turf, that's when I think the real battle begins. And that's why it's more about alliances or like fuck you alliances or whatever.
And like, I mean, like I said, like, you know, no offense, like I'm just going to, you know, own it. Like Miss Alaska in her season, we know why the bitch kept Roxy. We know. Everyone knows why Roxy was kind of still hanging around, you know, in the competition, making it all the way to the end.
Well, she borrowed a shirt. That ain't Shade Girl. I am just repeating what the internet says. I am repeating what Alaska says. Actually, what Willem says to Alaska all the time when she spills that tea. Because it's
like my biggest thing is that whole, like, you kept her around because you knew at the end you would never lose against her.
And it's interesting that that hasn't been a part of the season.
Yes, to an extent.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they did not keep, you know, Farrah around to the end. So. I'm just saying, like, you know, as an example of someone who went home early. I mean, they didn't keep Jasmine either, you know. So.
I would keep Jasmine. I wouldn't keep Jasmine. That's just dead weight.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, anyway. You ready to get into discussing the challenge? All right, so we got a little intro for this.
Now, today, we're paying tribute to a true pop culture phenomenon, an iconic TV and film series that is beloved by girls and gays around the globe. For this week's Maxi Challenge, you'll be overacting in a Rue Hollywood story about a movie sequel we're calling Sex and the Kitty Girl 3, starring in a dishy mockumentary that includes both shady behind-the-scenes drama and scripted movie scenes. Now, you'll each parody one of the sequel's stars.
Yes. So, it's acting challenge time, kittens.
Acting! If we can even call it that.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So, first off, before we get into the challenge, I want to talk about this lineup of the contestants. I want everyone to pay particular close attention to Miss Monique Hart's face. So, I think they shot this part twice because all five of them are very happy about the challenge. They're excited. They're kind of like, you know, smiles and they're like excited. And then right at the very end, Monique totally drops face and is no longer happy and does not look like she's having it. And the first time when I watched the episode, I caught it right away and I was like, oh, shade. But then I went back and I watched it again. And then I ended up catching this and getting a clip of it. And I was like, oh, either this is a second take of their reaction or she really was not happy about the fact that it was an acting challenge and it's Sex in the City. Because by this point, Rue has already explained who the roles will be. And more importantly, that Miss Naomi, who won last week, her benefit is she gets to dole out the character assignments in this mockumentary that they're going to be doing. And I could not help but screenshot this because I thought this was fucking hysterical that Naomi decided to put on this villain face. And I was like, careful, girl. Like, you always trying to look pretty. This is not pretty look. So, for those of you that do not remember Sex in the City, and I never watched it, to be honest, we have several characters, four main characters, actually. We'll get into that in a second. So we have SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker, who happens to be the main character, the fashion columnist. And then we have Krista, and I can't quite remember what her whole story was or the actress's name, so I apologize. She was the one that was, to me, that seemed like the ditziest of the bunch, but not necessarily. And then we have Cynthia Dixon, whose character I think her name was Cynthia, which is very confusing to me. And so she is the lesbian, I believe, that comes out eventually in the course of the series.
No.
Oh, I got it all wrong. So,
yeah. So Cynthia Nixon, who is the actress, is a lesbian.
Correct.
In the show, she plays the like sarcastic, witty lawyer, and I can't remember her character's name off the top of my head. I was on, oh shit, it just left my head.
Okay.
But anyway, so she's not a lesbian. They're kind of tying that into the real person playing the character in the episode. Because, you know, Cynthia didn't really, you know, I don't want to say hide the fact, but she was, you know, she had very, like, lesbian undertones, I guess, you know, whatever. But, like, because she is one, you know. But, like, so Cynthia Nixon has been, like, is a one of the other, like, local or New York kind of pioneers for, like, gay rights, lesbian rights, and have you. So kudos for her. I love Cynthia, but, like,
Now I explain why everything's so confusing to me, because they were blending the real actresses with their characters for the show. Mm-hmm. Then we have Kim Cattrall, who plays Samantha. This is really about the only character that I honestly truly know, but that's just because she was the whore, apparently, of the bunch. and didn't she have more than one man die while having sex with her over the series?
I don't remember.
Or something goofy like that.
I don't remember.
As her character. And then we end up with this craziness, which I actually thought was funny. They brought back an actress for a role that was in one episode that died.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, no, they did not. And the answer is yes, they did. Well,
because they have five people and they needed five characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We couldn't have done like a five-character show or waited to do this as the finale so that it's four people.
Well, they were kind of stretching it doing Sex and the City, in my opinion, because it was confirmed that at least one or more than one of the five are not familiar with the series.
Mm-hmm.
So
just so everyone's, I mean, if you know Sex and the City, you're good. Like, this is going to be a refresher. So Parker was Carrie Bradshaw. Kim Cattrall was Samantha Jones. Kristen Davis was Charlotte York, and Cynthia Nixon was Miranda. So to really quick, I'm looking at Wikipedia, girl,
because
I forget all the time. So Carrie was the fashion forward / like writer, journalist. Kim was the sex craze publicist.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte was the like reserved art critic or not critic, art like person. Like, she did stuff, curator at museums and stuff. And then she eventually, if you know Sex and the City, she has some issues with, you know, marriage, and then doesn't, you know, has issues with getting kids. And then she gets married to this Jewish guy, which she converts for. And then they can't get pregnant, so she ends up adopting, da-da-da. And then Cynthia, who was playing Miranda was the, like I said, the lawyer, like, straight-laced lawyer, sarcastic, you know, wit, and marries a guy and moves to Brooklyn with her son, with their son, I should say. And that's all I remember. So I know that they did the movies, and I haven't seen the movies, but I did watch the series pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But I only watched it on non-HBO. So I watched it on in syndication on like Fox or something like that. So you don't get all of like the like crazy sex scenes. You get like, you obviously know it's there.
Right.
But it's not as like, oh my God, they're having sex kind of thing. So
yeah.
Totally different than the actual series full on. But you know, shall I get going into this?
So So Naomi is SJP, Monique mm-hmm. is Keijo, Latrice mm-hmm. is Cynthia, and Trinity is Samantha, which puts Monet as Krista. So what were your thoughts, David?
What was this? Like, that's my Bane kind of thought. I felt like this came out of like so far left field. I don't know why we're doing it. It doesn't make sense. Like, why are we like we're going to play scenes, but we're doing a mockumentary. So there's going to be like all this like other, like we're playing the character. We're playing characters who are playing characters in a movie, but we're also doing the documentary side of it. So it's kind of another layer of stuff on it. And then like, it just seemed very just not muddied, but just like, bleh, like what is going well, on? And like
everyone was serving up a three-layer dip.
Yeah.
Like, so like Naomi is supposed to be Naomi while being SJP, while being Carrie Bradshaw. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was all these weirdly meta-ish.
Yeah, it was super, super meta, and it just didn't quite work for me. Honestly, I did not like the challenge. The whole, like, oh, we have to play these characters and da-da-da, because there are things like, so for me, one of the big things was there's, like, right at the, like, before we see the full version, I now know what happened, but before we see the full version, like, Trinity leaves, like she's gone, and in comes in Monique's character,
mm-hmm.
right? No explanation given at all, like about why she's gone and why Monique's suddenly showing up. And I mean, you get it, we get it in when they do the whole like showing it all on the runway part of it,
right?
But like when I was watching this episode, that happened, and I was like, Where did she go?
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, and I know that they had to bring, you know, Monique in, blah blah blah, but we don't know why, and it's kind of like this seems all of so sudden, like it seemed weird, and
yeah,
and it just I would have liked just a little more back something to give me something to kind of like grasp onto why we're doing this.
Right. So my comments are yikes. There's so many cringeworthy things that happens. Like, and I'm going to say this. People thought Latrice looked cute in this hair. While the bob does look cute on her, this Ronald McDonald orange red is not her color, in my opinion, especially with a blue white trimmed suit like that azure kind of blue. I was just like, wow. That's a lot.
There's just so much going wrong in this. Like, that's my biggest thing. There was so much going wrong in this challenge to me that just didn't make it like, ooh, let me get into this. Like, let me right. find the fun and humor in this. And even as someone who is, I'm not like a hardcore Sex and the City fan. I'm just kind right. of a, you know, I watch the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say that I think Monet did all right. Like, I think she was trying really hard to stay centered and character, like, you know, and do uh-huh. her thing. And in a way, her character was kind of minimal. Like, granted, she was supposed to be more political and aggressive or whatever, and she kind of got criticized for that, whatever. Like, hers to me was a little more in the middle of the road. This one. Girl, for being a super fan, like, that's a no. That's a no and a no and a no. How can you take the main character lead, the one with the most lines, and not be able to deliver that person? If you're that much of a mega yeah. fan, you should know how Carrie Bradshaw comes across. And you, uh-huh. my dear, came across as a see you next Tuesday. And I was so confused. I was like, what are we watching? This is like watching a weird Valley Girl model, like, bitch on wheels. And that's not right for the mm-mm. character part of the time. Like, if she was able to turn it on and off, do you know what I mean? Like, if yeah. she was being Carrie and she was being SJP, I think it would have been better, but she wasn't. There was like no real difference a whole lot between how she was acting and then acting, mm-hmm. acting, or however yeah, you want to phrase
just, it. Gosh, I don't know. Like
and,
I said, that's the confusing part of it.
And it bothered the hell out of me that she wore this outfit. I was like, oh, honey, you're too busy like trying to show off your legs. SJP, from what I remember of that show, would have never worn this outfit.
I mean, maybe.
not for lunch at the Standard, like, you know, to meet with her friends. I was like, yeah, this is, you know, that's just a, that's a.
This would have been like, I'm going out clubbing, like, this is our Studio 64 party. Like, come out and.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite things about this was who did the feedback? Oh, in the pit stop, I think it was Trinity that goes, Club 96. Like, as a complete dig about this acting and the acting challenge. And I was like, oh, no, girl. That's just so not right. Yeah.
It just, like, so thank you, Philip, he's in our live chat, just kind of saying, he agrees that he was confused when it was suddenly Monique instead of Trinity. He called, he says, knowing you was the worst in this challenge. I agree. And then, can you spell overacting? Yeah, you can.
I can spell overacting. I don't know if Naomi can.
Oh, I know. Naomi can't spell subtlety.
Let's talk about Miss Trinity as Samantha, a.k.a. Kim Cattrall. She wasn't spot on, but I have to give it to Trinity. Like, she, like, they did that whole Rochambeau rock, paper, scissors thing, which I think was kind of bullshit. I think that was sort of done for the camera, but anyways. So she ends up winning to be able to do the role. And I thought she did really well with it, even though she wasn't, like, exactly, like, a spot on impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, the part you don't see in the rehearsal or in the shooting that you finally get later is the whole sex part.
Yeah.
And I have a critique about that, because I'm going to go back a second to this one image. Please note the lack of tablecloth, okay? So they're having lunch at the Standard, which is kind of this upscale, you know, maybe slightly bougie, you know, hotel, whatever, you know, uppity-uppity. And there is no, like, there's no cloth on the, the table. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because you get to later and you end up having Trinity do this whole shtick where she's apparently, right, gonna have a big O, and then you find out that the waiter is under the table and he's, like, you know, performing cunnilingus. And I was like, well, that's very confusing, because I could clearly see under the table a moment ago and there was not no man underneath there, for the record.
Plot hole.
And maybe that was meant to be a joke because it's a mockumentary or whatever, but still.
Yeah. It's just, it. So, of the four, or five, excuse me, I will own Kim, I'm not Kim, Trinity did the best-ish with what was going on, but can I just, I'm just going to, like, spill a little tea here to me personally. I don't think they all did really that great in this whole, like, acting mockumentary whatever challenge. Like, it just didn't work. Like, for me, it just didn't work. It seemed a little too, it seemed almost forced. It seemed very trite. And, you know, again, like I said, I'm not a fan, but I'm, you know, I know these people, I know these characters, I know the way they act because I've watched them, you know, perform. And this just seemed like a, almost to me, like a slap in the face of those actresses and their characters.
Right.
And that's just me being honest. Like, I didn't care.
So
for
what
it.
I hear you say it is Trinity was the best of the worst.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I can't necessarily disagree with that. Miss Monique Hart, God bless her. She ends up with the Keijo character, she ends up with a woman that comes back from the dead that was apparently in a coma for 15 years, walks upright, no issues, still has a flip cell phone, needs a charger, face is painted, hair fallen off. That was funny.
I love that. Yeah.
That was so messed up and funny that she, her first scene in, she comes walking in and starts moving and her hair starts to fall off.
She was like pressing her hair or something like that. And then, like, oop, and there it goes. She's like, I swear I locked it down. No, you didn't. Girl, calm down.
Well,
no,
my favorite.
You didn't glue that shit down.
So here's my favorite part. You have to watch the pit stop with Farrah Moan and Trixie Mattel talking about this very episode. Farrah Moan flat out says, like, leave the brown cow stunning behind, Monique. Make your hair coming off a part of your shtick from now and forever. I will always live for it. Which I actually thought was pretty funny. And Farrah was like, because it's, Monique is known for throwing her hair during a performance. And so, like, I think Farrah's just like, girl, make that your new thing. Like, forget the
instead of wig under a wig, like another wig, you like off. Yeah. But I think Milan did that first.
Right. So anyways, it was funny to me that moment in the beginning of the acting challenge, and then her hair was sliding and coming off. And what the part that bothered me was, girl, you have tape on your head. Like, we see the duct tape or the packing tape or whatever, and all I thought was, where's your bobby pins? Like, your hair should not be falling off if you wrap the tape around your head. Like, so, yeah, that's a thing.
True.
And then we end up with this buffoonery. So after the standard hotel scene, like, that wasn't enough. Then apparently there's some weird charity event, something or other. Or no, it's the Met Gala, I think. And, like, Carrie Bradshaw's character has got to be the promotion to replace Anna Wintour or some bullshit. I don't know. It was very confusing to me. So she picks, like, clowning or something as the theme. And so they all have to be dressed in these outfits. And I'm looking at poor Monique Hart on the far right looking like a circus tent. And I'm just like, what is this business about? So I'm wondering if in the dossier of all the looks that they had to bring, if a couture comical clown was like, what was the description? Because so Trinity is actually to be serving the most fashion, like in terms of like a clown outfit. And I don't know what Monet is wearing, and Naomi is wearing mismatched shoes to go with her mismatched outfit, I guess. Latrice is like, I don't know. It's like another number. It's all a mess. It's just
a mess, and it just doesn't make sense. Again, it didn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't understand why we did it. Like, what the fuck? What the actual fuck?
Right.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So it, yeah. So it was a thing. It was a thing. Are you ready to move on and talk about the runway?
Yes.
All right. Have a girl. Put the bass in your walk. All right, before we get into the looks on the contestants, I want to give a shout-out of recognition to Ms. RuPaul for the second time this season showing off them legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the asymmetrical cut, like, sherbert-y rainbow, like, with all these paillettes or whatever the hell you call these disc things that are, like, sort of color-toned to match the fabric. Like, it's a very simple outfit, but it actually looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And her makeup ain't bad, hair ain't bad. I mean, it's kind of basic RuPaul. I think because Jason Wu was one of the guest judges and he made the very first RuPaul doll and now the new second RuPaul doll that's being released, that's why she decided to show her legs off, or was forced to show her legs off, I guess. So I just wanted to give that recognition because I was like, oh, she looked pretty this week.
Yeah.
She looked nice.
It's always a good, I love when she does like these little outfits, but it's kind of simple. It's not like, well, not simple. It's
basic. Good. It's basic for RuPaul. It's not earth shattering. It's not revolutionary. It's not her in the afro with the airbrush painted, you know, tube dress thing. One of my all time favorite looks. Like, I mean, it's just, she doesn't look, I mean, she's not exotic. She doesn't look like $7 trillion. I get it. Like, so it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I was like, oh, look at you. Look at
this
you.
This would be a really.
And you're like sock titty, you know, up there and all that business.
Yeah, this looks like a reveal dance outfit. Like someone has like a big, like one of those big ass like cape things on or whatever. And then like, I'm going to dance around and then boom, off it comes. And you get this little kind of like. Cha-cha number on underneath. It works. It's okay. I'm not hating it.
Phil said in the live chat, Rue's look was not great to me. She looked like a teenage girl going to a winter formal. You know, not quite prom, but still a formal dance, so you get a cute little dress that isn't too flashy. Yeah. And the thing is like Rue only is seen for a couple of minutes in this outfit. Then she goes sits down behind judges, you know, with the judges at the panel behind the desk or whatever. And infamously, she's always wearing slippers, sweatpants, like, you know, she's not tucked. I mean, you know, she's comfortable. She don't have to be standing there for hours and hours and hours on end in heels, you know, while getting criticized like the rest of the girls. So, but I definitely wanted to give recognition to that. All right. So, Cat Couture, I put a question mark next to it, is the name of the runway theme. And it's confusing to me because in some places online, it was listed as Kitty Girl Couture. At other places, it was Kitty Cat Couture. And then in other places, literally, RuPaul said in the audio, Cat Couture. And I was like, okay, that's kind of confusing. So, Damon, what were your thoughts?
So, I called this like Kitty Wah. Because I'm very much in awe of the choices that people made. This is a really, like, a positive for me. Most of them. Well, all of them but one.
Well, I'll say mine comes down to three things. Predictable, original, and confusing couture. Mm-hmm. So we'll run through because there's just the five of them. We got Miss Trinity the Tuck here.
Yeah.
She comes out with fake feathers in her mouth.
Uh-huh.
So when she spins around, she spits them out because that's what cats do, I guess. I get it. It's a little theatrical. It kind of adds a thing. Yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So she's wearing a skin-tight bodysuit with this long-ass mm-hmm. tail. She's painted for the gods. Like,
yeah,
the bodysuit is, I should say.
Yeah. Yes. The bodysuit is very well made. It gives the... I love the silhouette that it gives. It gives a lot of like this is a cat. This is very much like a cat outfit and a cat uniform. This very much reminds me of Cats, like the musical. Like there's a lot here, the tail being like long and, you know, she can, you know, drag it and everything. I almost thought she was going to fall with it because it's very long. but it's fun. I would have liked a little more... the ears a little bit further apart, but that's just me. It gives me a bit of like Cats the musical and like a superhero cat, like a cat character kind of thing.
Yeah. For me, this was predictable. Like I expected everyone to come out looking like cats. So I was like, oh, this looks like a cat. I'm not happy about the fact that it's like this weird hybrid of all the cats. So we've got, you know, tiger stripes and we've got like, cheetah print and leopard print and like I was just mm-hmm. all like okay apparently you're just some weird like lab experiment put together and I wasn't a fan of this T on the face thing.
Oh,
like the reason why I'm not a fan of it is because it's so obvious where her painted face is and where the head wrap is. You know what I mean? Like I think if she had painted her face like someone else will see in a little bit to try to blend with the outfit, I would have been, yes, this is tens. This is not tens mm-hmm. across the board for me. This is like nines. Like, you know, you look really good and yeah, but no, like it's not perfection. It's just good. And so you see what I mean? Like even here, it's more stark, like the white around her eyes and across her cheeks to the whisker thing.
I think I would have liked a little more just kind of like what we've seen in other of the other girls, kind of like to do the, if you're going to go all out for Kitty Cat, do it. Like go all out, make the face, make the like the look like the cat face, a la Cats. I keep saying it, but like that's kind of what I would, when I hear this theme, I want it to go like to the extreme.
Well, and Eric has a point in the live chat. He said, I heard the runway name and was expecting something more like tiger print dresses, not cat bodysuits. So I'm sure when they were given like the dossier of what to bring and what the theme was, you'll see kind of the variances in opinion of what they brought to the stage and why you get some other things. Miss Monet Echange. So for me, I thought this was original. Well, some people might think it's predictable. I thought it was original because the instant she walked out, I knew exactly who she was.
Same here.
Hence, I thought it was original because I was not expected the fucking pink pussy panther to be walking the runway in latex and weird pinky fabric with silver sequity print things. Yeah.
Spots.
Yeah. Or stripes or whatever that business was.
Spots.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this. Miss Michelle critiqued her on her ears and said she looked more like a mouse. Fuck your mouse. It's the Pink Panther, bitch. I don't understand what you don't understand about the Pink Panther. The Pink Panther has round ears. The Pink Panther does not, as a cartoon character, have pointed ears like a typical cat. So go check yourself, Michelle Visage. And I wish you a safe recovery from your breast reduction surgery. Anyways.
Aww.
For those of you that don't know, she's been posting on Instagram this past week. A couple days ago, she had her implants taken out because apparently they've been causing some toxic, like, disease or something of some sort.
Oh, no.
Like, so anyway, she had them taken out, and a lot of the Drag Race queens have been wishing her well. So I wish her all the best, and I hope that you have a speedy recovery, and then you fucking go watch some Pink Panther cartoons and get your shit together.
Ain't that the truth? Like, I love this outfit. I love this look. I love what she did. I love that she painted her face. Like, this is what we were talking about before. Like, she committed in the face to the look, and it all kind of worked. Like, when I saw her in the workroom, like, and you saw the, like, pink line
right
around her face, I was like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, she must be painting for the runway. And I was like, oh, okay. And here we go. And we got this very fun, freaky, fun, fabulous kind of look.
Right. And the one thing I will say is that I didn't have time because right before we went live, I was checking and I saw on Instagram or on Twitter, same thing. Monet posted a new photo of this outfit, and notably her face paint is very different. And it probably would have been better if it was the latter than what we're seeing right now. And that's because the nose and the contour on the top of the nose and underneath was all black. So, like, the face really pops more with definition than, like, this kind of whitish blendy pink. And, like, in these shots, she looks like she has a prosthetic pig nose. It was kind of weird, like, when she was on the runway. So,
yeah.
I can see where Michelle was like, this looks more like, you know, like a mouse. And I'm like, girl, no. Just no. It's a Pink Panther. Get over it. But yeah, so like I was very proud and happy of her. And noticeably, if you see this Twitter/Instagram photo, the hair is done differently a little too. It's not quite so Sandra Day hairspray. It's a little like tighter and pulled back, I think, a little bit. So it's a little sleeker, the blonde. In the redone version, we'll say. And then Miss Latrice.
Come on, Latrice. Come on, Latrice.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, what the actual fuck?
So,
like,
I get Latrice is a big girl and that fashion may be a little challenging to meet, like, the guidelines of the dossiers sometimes. So you did serve big old pussy. I'll give you that. Because you can't miss the line. It's, like, dead center front. And one boob is all, like, cheetah print. One boob is Bengal tiger print. Not to be confused with zebra. And then we got an elephant on one leg on the dress, and we got like an antelope or an ankh or something. Mm-mm-mm. I will say this about Latrice in this outfit. She was happy. Happy. Mm-hmm. The whole time. She was just beaming.
I'm sure she was.
I will give her this. The hair was really fun. I thought it was cute. Although I was confused because in the description as she's walking, she's talking about how it's crimped and braided. And I was like, braided?
There are braids. Like,
right.
So if you look to the left and the right, they're like right there. And maybe it had been braided and then undone.
I'm thinking it was just the temples, like kind of this area around the face was braided. I was confused because I was like, braided. I was like, if I have to zoom in to look for the braid, girl, it's not that good a braid. Yeah. look at her. She's just so happy with that chiffon drape and swirling it around. And I was like, oh, honey, you're really living a fantasy and you're not Valentina. But
this was just something. And I liked, don't get me wrong, I like the dress. I think it's fun. I think it's, you know, the whole, like, it's hand, you know, painted or whatever she called it and all that stuff. And it looks really good on her. I personally do like the chiffon thing. I don't think Carson or Ross or someone, whoever was critiquing it. Oh, Jason, woo, was not a fan of it. I like it. You know, it works. My problem is, with comparison to pretty much everyone else, with the exception of one other, she didn't do anything really. To me, this doesn't scream cat.
Right.
At all. Like, this screams like jungle. This screams like, you know, to me, it screams like jungle. Like, I'm queen of the jungle, which she does say a couple of times, but she's not a lion. And that the wig does not give like the lioness, like we've seen like girls, like, well, BB is a perfect example of those big, like curly, like mane, like wigs that are like, that's when you think of like, oh, that's the, like the cat, you know, kind of thing. I was almost expecting that from her. And maybe if she had done that and the dress, I might've been okay with it, but like everything just didn't work for me. This just was never, this was a big, big miss for me.
Right.
And like I said, I like the dress. I just, for what the couture or what the challenge represented, it wasn't there.
So, yeah, for me, this is a part of the confusing couture category of the three that I thought out of these five people. I just, if you want to do a Lion King number, girl, this is the dress. I got it. But not for the cat couture. Eric said in the live chat, I get hand painted in a hurry vibes from Latrice. Just wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't.
Yeah. Sorry, girl.
Oh.
It's a boot.
Just because you have like a lion on it and there's some print over here on the side that kind of is like cheetah or whatever, does not a cat couture outfit make.
So that was a look. That was as Tatiana says, choices. Speaking of choices, so Miss Naomi Smalls, Miss Fashion herself, she decides to serve up her interpretation of a young cat lady who is really into knitting, apparently, and her cats like claw and put runners in her outfit, and she has yarn balls on her head and earrings, and she's carrying a cat, and she's got one attached to her shoulder, and she's got like one hanging off the side for dear life.
Yeah. This was odd to me. It Go ahead.
I did not call it original. I called it confusing. She walked out and I was like, what in the hell? And then the more she watched and walked, I was like, oh dear.
It's
I don't hate it. I just
don't get it.
Well, I kind of do, but Naomi, for the love of everything, please don't wear this out and about. Like, not to a meet and greet. Not to a performance, unless there's a song that makes perfect sense. Like, I don't know, like maybe this is like a fun avant-garde Pussy Riot kind of interpretation. I don't know. I'm just, no.
It just is something. It was a choice. Again, like we said, I don't necessarily get that it made sense. And unfortunately for me, this is kind of where the problem for me lies. You essentially had majority of the cast, so 3 out of 5, I would call like cat suit slash, you know, costume cat looks.
Right.
You know, we're going to get to Monique here in a minute, but everyone, like the three of them wore this thing. So by comparison, when you do something different, it's going to be like very different.
Right.
And whereas Latrice kind of went this weird jungle, queen of the jungle kind of vibe or tone, you went crazy cat lady or crazy knitting cat lady, and it just doesn't land.
Right.
The cats don't look like real cats.
Yeah, that's one issue. All by itself.
So if they look like real cats, I would have gotten, oh, this is what you're doing. To me, this looks like I threw some cats on this outfit, and that's now why a cat outfit. Like,
right. Well, like yeah. Philip said in the live chat, or Eric says, campy, yeah, couture, no.
True.
Which I think is why I have a problem with it. Rue said the theme was cat couture, and maybe they changed the wording for the show, for the edit, compared to the dossier, but that makes it even all the more damning to Naomi, because she did not do well in the challenge, and I'm sorry, I don't think she's meeting it on the runway, which, in my opinion, puts her in peril. But.
So, for those who don't know, let's look up the word couture, shall we? All right. Couture is a noun. It is design and manufacture of fashionable clothes to a client's specific requirements and measurements.
Uh-huh.
That is not that. I mean, maybe it fits you and it works. Like, it's your measurements, whatever. But I wouldn't call that fashionable.
Now, granted, I don't watch Fashion Week. I don't know what is fashion. I am a 45-year-old fat bearded man in Pennsylvania, and I don't care about what necessarily happens in Fashion Week, even though I recognize that according to the Devil Wears Prada, in 3 to 5 years, it will be affecting what I have as new choices in clothing to wear. That being said, no. Philip says in the live chat, innovative and interesting, but not cat couture.
No.
So, yes, Miss Naomi. Okay. Just
all right.
Smoke another one, girl, because I think that's what happened. And then we get Miss Monique Stole My Heart. The moment this bitch walked out, I was like, oh my fucking God, she did not. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. She gave us Puss in Boots.
Mm-hmm.
It's cat couture, kids. Like, I know there's been criticism about this ridiculous hat. Like, that it's not, like, three-corner. It's not musketeers enough. It doesn't have a fold in it. I don't give a shit about any of that. She walked out with the biggest say-something church lady hat you ever seen in your fucking life, with these not exactly up-to-par feathers from the craft store. I don't care. That rapier aluminum foil like thing wasn't up to snuff either. But she totally served up sex kitten crazy like cartoon. Like, I just,
it all worked.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, the high boots, this is very much to me like this would be a pussy in boots as opposed to a puss in boots, because, you know, Puss in Boots is kind of a male, like, at least as far as we know. This is definitely like that, like, this right. is a feminized version to me of that
right.
classic kind of idea.
Right.
And I love it. I love it.
Now, I have to recognize, Philip said in the live chat, after Trinity's look, it just looked like a copycat with a hat and boots, not saying that I didn't love it, but I get that. The moment she walked out, I was like, oh, hell no. Two girls had the same outfit. But I think I like Monique's better because there was more to it. Like, Trinity just came out and was like, kitty, 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 kitty. And, you know, and Monique's like, girl, I'm serving you, you know, fictional character realness.
Yeah. And it just, to me, it just all kind of, like, they're definitely different. I will say this much. And I will say this, the highlight for me is the fact that Miss Monique painted her face to look like a cat. I think she even added, like, the whiskers and everything. It all, like, it just worked so well for her and worked well for this challenge. This kind of, to me, is like I'm channeling like Nina Bonita Brown and this all just, like, awesome, perfect for me, and the like all the dimensions, all the contouring and everything, it just, I got cat.
out of the two of them, think back to what you said, Damon, about with Trinity. Look at the ears.
Yeah.
Like, the ears alone are an improvement. The fact that she doesn't have that weird tea mask thing, and the face is the face is fully painted to match with the whiskers attached. Like, it's all just extra details that made the difference, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That, you know, came forward. You know, and to be fair, you know, she still had her hands cut out, you know, so she could have her claws. And I think they were just basic white, so they weren't necessarily, you know, painted to match the stripes necessarily, but I don't know if that was a requirement in this case, you know. Yeah.
It just all worked for me. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. All the little details that she went through. And I will say kudos for her for mini spoiler alert for getting the makeup done back to where so that she could perform in the lip sync.
Yes. That was an interesting element that gets revealed as you move on, so to speak. So for me, this was predictable and yet original. Predictable that she came out looking like a cat, but slightly original, and that she chose a fictionalized character and I think fully delivered on it. So yeah, are you ready to get to the lip sync?
Let's do it.
All right.
The time has come for you to lip sync for your legacy. Good luck, and don't fuck it up.
So, we should probably do this just in case. If you haven't watched the episode, or you didn't complete watching the episode...
Spoiler alert.
So, top two out of five, Monique and Trinity.
Yay!
So, I was actually happy. I was okay with this. And, as I predicted while I was watching it, the other three are all in the bottom. None of this bottom two bullshit and one of your asses gets to be safe. Nope. It's only five. For me, it made way more sense. The bottom three of you, you are all in the bottom together. Congratulations. So they end up lip syncing to the one, the only Miss Janet Jackson.
Yes.
And the song is When I Think of You. And I was like, oh, how interesting. They actually dropped a little coin yet again for one episode to get the rights.
We've been doing it.
To watch. It's not one episode all season. I just mean, like, it's so up and down. Like, some episodes they drop some coins. Some episodes you're like, huh? Okay.
Okay.
That's the song?
Here's the song.
So.
They knew, like, four, like, RuPaul songs.
Oh. Wait, that's coming. Next week, girl. You know what they're doing, so there's that. David, what were your thoughts on the lip sync?
So I love I call this one cute and fun.
Okay.
They both seem to be enjoying themselves. They both seem to have they were doing the lip sync really well. You know, to each their own. I like that in traditional, like, their fashion, we got some, like, reveals of, like, you know, like, basically taking things off, patterns, you know, things off,
right.
Revealing less and less clothing. I mean, both girls are known for, like, let me just show off what little I can wear and still get, you know, prove that I'm still, like, I'm not a man. Like,
right. And I agree. Like, and so in this example, you'd mentioned it before. So what we're looking at here on us live on YouTube. So this image is of Monet fully dressed. And by that, I mean, she hasn't taken off her two different pieces. But her face is completely different. When they announced top two and then they all went back to the workroom immediately.
Yeah.
Miss Monique is like, I'm repainting. Like, I'm touching up and I'm doing this. And
yeah, she was doing a lot, and she did it. I will say, I don't know how long they have, but she did it with enough, like, time. And I'm assuming she knew what she was going to do if she did win.
Right.
Because she immediately grabs, like, you know, I'm assuming they gave her all the stuff, and she like immediately starts going at it.
Right.
And she's doing it like while they're sitting on their couch. She does it. Then she goes to the mirror. All the girls have to go to the mirror to talk to her for the most part. So,
which is kind of a bitchy move, but necessary.
Yeah. But necessary. And we understand why, because more than likely we don't know how much time they get between getting sent backstage and going back on stage for runway. And if you are a girl and you paint and you know, like, she's essentially changing from her cat contours to like her somewhat of her general like face contours. She didn't get it quite right, because I mean, I noticed she had a lot of like highlight right here in her face, but just because she had all that white on her face. But
right,
you can only do so much.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of my critiques about Miss Monique. I'm like, girl, you are not a sugar skull. Back off. Back off. Step away from the highlighter. Like, use half. Yeah. Because it's just a bit much.
Well, I think it had a lot to do with the fact that she wanted the highlight of the white in the cap, and she had to use it. Like, unfortunately, you can't just, like, without taking all of the makeup off,
right,
and then reapplying. Yeah, and that would have just taken forever,
right?
You know. So, kudos to her for doing what she did. This was, like I said, I love this song. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed this lip sync.
I called it a classic and true lip sync, because I felt like we knew what we were going to get out of these two. The moment they walked out, I was like, oh, they're going to dance. Them's dancing numbers. Like, we're going to probably see splits, shablams, twirls, tumbling somersaults, booty shaking. Like, we're just going to see all of it on the stage. And I'm okay with that, because we are coming to the end of the season. And I would, for once, like a goddamn lip sync where I'm like, could we just lip sync and no props, no shenanigans, no craziness, just a good old lip sync. And I think they delivered it. Like, I thought it was a true classic lip sync that they got out there. I was happy that both of them did some costume reveal kind of stuff, so there were some tearaways, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And I was also very happy that Miss Monique kept her goddamn hair on, because at one moment in the music, there was a dramatic moment, and I was waiting for the cut to Monique and a hair and a rafter or some bullshit. And instead, they cut to Trinity, and I was like, look at how surprised I am. The hair is still on. We didn't have that craziness happen again.
Look at this. Look what's going on. Look at the stuff. Look at her. Yes. Go ahead. With your bad self. I do agree with you that this was a very classic and kind of true kind of lip sync. It was fun, fancy, you know, dancey, kicky fun. I liked it. Like,
so here's my question for you, Damon, before we reveal it. Were you surprised who won the lip sync?
No.
Okay, I was. I thought it was going to go the other way. So when Rue says who wins, I was like, oh, interesting.
And I think it just was minor, like just by a hair for me. Like, it wasn't like, she outshined, as it were. But I think it was just like, just enough to kind of edge it, you know.
Right. I thought they were close, but I thought one did a little better than the other. But then again, all we get is an edit. Like, we're not really there to see the whole performance. So that, you know, is one of the things that is a disadvantage sometimes watching the TV show, because the, you know, 90 seconds or whatever you get to see of like maybe a 3-minute lip sync is not giving it all to you. They're chopping it in a way that you get certain moves or certain looks. So, Trinity wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I honestly thought it was going to go to Monique, but it didn't. It went to Trinity.
And I like I said, it was very, very, very close for me. Like, my mind kind of like, this was not like the last few ones where, excuse me, sorry.
Whoops.
Where like the last few lip syncs, we've kind of got like I feel like a couple of people were maybe throwing things for the sake of not having to reveal who they picked.
Right.
Although in both cases,
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. like
right.
But I mean, again, maybe it did because they maybe didn't want to be the person to remove the person out of the thing. So, right. But whatever.
So we end up with the bottom three. They all have to come up, and Trinity's going to, you know, reveal her lipstick pick. I got this screenshot on purpose for one reason, and it's because if you paid attention when you watched the show, Latrice is kind of in the zone, like staring off towards like Jason Wu on Judge's panel over here. And then Naomi is staring down, like, to Rue, I think. And then Monet is completely wearing her heart on her, like, chest, on her sleeve, on her face. Like, she is, like, nervous and, like, very concerned about what's about to happen. And I was like, girl, like, I was just really kind of surprised as to how wound up in the moment she was. That she, you know, was concerned about whether or not she was going to, you know, make the cut for top four. And because the whole time she seemed to be looking over to Trinity when she's talking. And I was like, ooh, okay.
And I will say this. It probably had a lot to do with, like, what happened just last week or whatever, a couple days or whatever in the show. Like, literally, Manila, who was the highest score, you know, top, you know, person, got eliminated. She had the greatest track record. We know how Trinity has been running things. And during the chat, like overall, Trinity kind of gave this, you know, narrative of like, maybe I won't, I'm doing everything. I'm critiquing everything. I'm putting everything into it. Whereas opposed to before, it was just like track record and how well you've been doing and how you didn't. She's now kind of changing her wording a bit, and now she's kind of considering everything and just the I think I wrote it even down. Like, she's looking at the full body work, the performances, and so she's thinking she might change it up. And I could see that being for Monet being a holy shit, like, I could potentially go home, only because given who she's next to, she's the, like, maybe has the most wins. Actually, I think she does have the most wins and everything. And it could be like, well, this is now her chance to go.
Right. It completely, and it went by so fast. We didn't have a good dramatic buildup to the weight of the fact that Trinity technically has all the control to decide who is top four. She had been saying all along that she wanted to go to the end with the most competitive individual, because in Trinity's mind, I think she feels like, I'm going to win this fucking thing overall, no matter what, and I want to win fair and square, and by that, she wants the most competitive person, like, to be the one that she beats, not that she wins because she took someone along who had no deserve to get as far as they did. So that, I think that's what was going into it. But I agree with you. Like, she was really kind of delivering in the workroom. Like, it's not personal. We'll still be friends after this. Like, I mean, she was really given these lines about, like, none of y'all got standing with me right now. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well, there's that.
So I do want to recognize that Eric said in the live chat, he goes, skinny white bitch winning the lip sync before the finale of All Stars. Not a shock to me. I would get my Shade fan out, but I don't call it Shade. I call it truth.
It is truth.
So
there's definitely some truth there.
So here's the thing. Trinity has to decide who's going to go. We know who goes, but she had every right to knock out some competition, some sort of competition favorite, or you send home the most beloved. No matter what, you're kind of screwed. Like, the fandom will not probably be happy with your decision, which what cracks me up, a lot of the queens keep saying over and over again, it's a competition, it's a game, like, it's television. It's not the real world. Like, we're all friends, we all get along, Like, yeah. Fandom needs to check itself.
Truth. So, here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, Trinity picked Latrice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this for a moment.
And I am... Oh, sure. Let's do that. Let's
talk about this moment. In the edit, this is part of RuPaul's reaction. Now, there's a reason why I keep saying in the edit. Because I wasn't there. I was not on my knees next to Sarge watching this whole thing go down. Sorry, I let that fantasy Girl. Slip. So...
Come Anyways. Back to us. Come on.
All right. I'll try. So here's the thing about this, right? With Ms. RuPaul. The reaction shot is that she's shocked that Latrice is going home. Now, the reason why I say it was edited this way is because I don't know if this was actually the real moment that it's announced by Trinity that Latrice is going home or if this is from something else from the same episode. Because... Rue, why are you shocked? I'm confused. Like, did you seriously think Latrice was going to keep going on? After that performance and that runway? Seriously? Her name isn't Roxy Andrews. We just discussed that at the top of this show tonight. Like, she's not being dragged along to get ahead. Like, that's not the way Trinity's been vocalizing. That's the way she put it. So... I just had to recognize that was Rue's shock face. Like, I was like, what? I mean, it's a very pretty face. It's a well-beaten mug, but still.
Uh-huh. Groundbreaking.
And then you get Latrice's reaction.
Yeah.
This face just makes me laugh.
So she's here again. She's getting let go. She knows she's gone. This is the second time. Are the third time?
Technically, she, I believe, is the only queen now to have been dismissed four times in her history of Drag Race. Once in her own season, once in All Stars 1 with Manila, and twice in this season. So that makes it four times that she has been.
Hello, folks. This is the trivia for next week. Oh, that was backwards. Boo. There we go.
That's okay. So Latrice's reaction shot was so funny to me because she wasn't mad. She wasn't shocked. It was almost like she didn't hear it right.
She's just disappointed. I will say this much, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna have more comments about this later, so don't worry. I feel for her in that moment because I know how much she wanted to win, and I know how badly she wanted to make it to the end and get a new crown and all that stuff, and so I do feel bad for her because I know. To be this close, because this is the episode before the finale, so she's right there, and she dragged her way back into the competition, and it can be a blow. It's a blow. So,
yeah. So, Miss Latrice, she got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we had five queens. We go down to. Four queens.
So we have Team Trinity, Team Monique, Team Naomi, or Monet, and Team Naomi.
Mm-hmm. As Monet, said at the top of the show, Monique cracked me up when she talked about Team Melanin, that she wanted the top five to have more color in it. They even make a really crude joke about poor Trinity. And Naomi had a really, I'm hoping it was an off-the-cuff witty moment, when she was like, so Trinity, tell us what it's like to be white. Like, it was just so, like, ironically, like, 180'd. So, yeah, we're going into the finale with these four lovely ladies.
Yeah.
So, we'll do this, and then we'll get into the, into our snaps and eye rolls. So,
okay,
next week, we're going to have a fourth queen. So, we got Chad Michaels, Alaska 5000, and Trixie Mattel as our three all-star Drag Race Hall of Fame queens. And then we're going to have a fourth one. Do you have any predictions, Damon? Like, let's do it this way. I'll ask you the question that's been asked a lot. It's two parts. Who do you think will win? Who do you want to win?
Got it. Yeah. So I am personally, I am, if you've followed me on Twitter, you know that I am Team Monet. Okay. I want Monet to win. I think she's done really great this season, and her, you know, her story of coming back and redeeming herself has been fulfilled. She is not the busted pussycat wig queen we kind of saw in her season 10. She's very much gotten the coin. She's definitely gotten, you know, up elevated all of her looks. And I feel that personally she has done a really great job this season mm-hmm. of All Stars. Having said all that, I think, and this is, I don't know if I want it to be this way, I think Trinity could win.
Mm.
And it has, and to me, that's, I don't want that to be the case, and I'm not trying to be like what have you. It's very much to me, like, if you look at what has been happening this whole season, Trinity kind of has done the most and has done really well. And I could see RuPaul kind of crowning that, because Trinity has done really well. Now, granted, everyone has fallen, as we said, everyone has fallen to the bottom. We all know that, you know, in some capacity. So it's not that so much, but it's just like how, like, track record, you've done really well. You've just, you know, beat the competition again, and here you go into this thing. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't particularly like it for several reasons, and one of them being the obvious, like, I would like someone of color to win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. Like, when you compare – so to me, Naomi's not in the running. I'll just be honest, point blank, period. Like, I love Naomi to death. She's not in running. Like,
right.
Not going to happen. So it's between Monique, Monet, and Trinity.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead. Now, how about you?
All right. So who do I want to win? Who do I think is going to win? Who do I want to win? Not Naomi Smalls. I just don't think that she has done that much, and she's not that much of a dark horse. Like, in the competition, she had one win. That's it, baby. Like, I think you sort of maybe got handed that. It's a long story. So when it comes to numbers, technically, let's see, Monet had three wins. Monique had three wins. Trinity had four wins.
Mm-hmm.
So Trinity is the front runner, and I think it's hers to lose. I'm really torn about wanting her to win, because I think if she wins, it'll be well-deserved that she mm-hmm. just slightly outperformed Monet and Monique.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, I would be happy with any of the three of them. If Monique Hart won, the shriek heard round the world, brown cow stunning, and all the rest of the nausea that goes with it, I can't fault that she would end up winning. Monet, you know, Monet Exchange, I think, has really proven, you know, that she is a contender and that she really does good drag. And, you know, she's not someone to be, you know, messed with, so to speak. I also like the fact that Monet is a thicker gal. Like, no one's really kind of talked about that. But notably, true, in this season of All Stars, the girl isn't padding really much. And it's really obvious in this episode because she's running around in the workroom in a caftan, basically. Like, and, you know, I started paying attention and I was like, them thighs is real. That butt is real. Now, I think since All Stars, she's lost a little weight and there's nothing wrong with that. But as someone who has wanted a thicker gal to get up in this, you know, gig and to win overall one of these seasons.
True.
That's a part of me that would like that for Miss Monet, because Naomi Smalls is like smaller than my wrist. I mean, come on. So, so for me, who I want to win, honestly, I'm perfectly fine with any of those three and not Naomi. Now, who do I think is going to win? I have very grave concerns. I don't know anything. I don't go on Reddit, but I get the feeling that the top two is going to be mixed. And that means potentially that Naomi Smalls might be one of the top two. And I am not happy about that, if that's really the truth when it comes down to the end of next episode, that she's one of the two. So if it's, I'll say that if it comes down to Trinity and Naomi, then I want it to go to Trinity. If it comes down to Trinity versus Monique or Monet, I just don't know. I feel like, shit, what season was it? I completely forgot. It's been so many years since I had a season that I got to the end and was like, I don't care. I'm good with any of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been such a long time since I felt okay with the possibility of the outcome. So next week is them doing the music video for RuPaul's Super Queen. I don't know if we're going to end up with that whole dynamic like they did when it was Darian Lake, and how, like, if you – whoever the one that fucks it up the most doesn't make the cut for the music video and you end up in fourth and then it's, like, the top three – I don't know if they're going that route again or not for this coming week. If that's the case, I'll be very curious to see who falls into fourth place. So, yeah, I don't know.
I can understand that. And for me, I will just go ahead and say it in, you know, I want, like I said, I would love it if a woman of color or a girl, a queen of color won. I would love it if Monet won. She's my, like, front runner for me. Having said that, if you go on just this, on just the competition, she's not been 100% awesome.
Okay.
Like 80%, I would give her that. Monique, to me, has about that same credit card, you know, or that kind of like that, you know, percentage. Trinity has about an 85, and I hate saying that, but I think just in overall,
right,
I get that.
And that's one of the things that's been talked about ever since the cast was revealed, was the percentage odds of a queen of color finally winning All Stars. And I'm just going to put this out there. Part of me wonders if the reason the seasons are back-to-back is because they already know the outcome. And last year, we went straight from All-Star Season 3 right into Season 10. And Trixie barely got any publicity. Like, right after she won, we went straight into the new season. Because of the shit that went down, I think there's possibly some puppetry at play that how Trixie won was going to be this controversy. And instead of letting everybody sit and simmer and stew in that shit, they just moved right on.
Yeah. Like, and it was, I will say this message, and I'm just, as I'm kind of looking at the cast list and everything else, not to be mean, it was very much a stack. Like, this season was stacked with queens of color.
Right.
You had Valentina, you had Jasmine, you had Manila, you had, you know, Gia, you know, and then you have like Monet, Monique, you know, Latrice, you know, you had a Naomi, you have all these queens. So And would it, and I think that's another kind of conversation, a big conversation that, you know, I don't think neither you or I have right now had the time for to do. It's just one of those ones where I can't. It would be hard, and it would be a I'm gonna spill a big ass tea right now. I'm just gonna say it right now. If a queen of color doesn't win this season of All Stars 4, if Trinity wins out, there's going to be a big kind of conversation that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And I can see people challenging RuPaul's Drag Race, not necessarily RuPaul herself. I'm talking about the show.
Right.
To be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, there's going to be some, like, calling out of shit. And I agree, like, if they're gonna do this whole like gloss over shit and we're gonna go right into season 11, we're not gonna have it.
I understand. I mean, you're right to call out and be like, let's look at the statistical odds. How many white girls were actually contestants in All Stars this season? Two. Trinity and Farrah. Manila is Filipino. Gia Gunn is
Japanese.
Correct. I think she's Japanese. You know, Valentina is Mexican American. And I mean, it's like you just go down the list and we've got, you know, beautiful African American queens like that were in, you know, like it was it was such a melting pot. So it was an 8-2 like comparative, and yet the queen who had quite the pageant competition background may very well be the front runner, which is kind of crazy.
It's hard. It's going to be very hard, I think, for them to justify what happens, because we let's just peel again another thing of tea. We all know this is not like RuPaul's the be all, say all, end all of it. No, we know that for a fact.
Right.
Like, there are producers, there's a television company, et cetera, et cetera, so forth and so on. Like, there's more to this than just like RuPaul makes the decision and that's everyone kind of falls in line. No.
And so, and that's true that there's a lot of that rumor, conjecture, conspiracy theory, whatever you want to say about who pulls the strings, who makes the decisions. And, you know, that's part of the discussion that's going on. Like, even Trixie and Farrah, in reviewing this in the pit stop this week's episode, said, Farrah flat out, I think, said, take a year off. Like, announce season 12 will be in another year. Like, literally take 12 solid months off in between seasons. And I get it. Like, all the queens are like, everyone's getting fatigued, and yet we still tune in. You know, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I understand where they're like, can everybody just catch a breath? Like, now we're going to be over 160 queens or some shit. Like, I mean, it's going to be it used to be a running joke that Rue couldn't remember who the girls' names were. Now we can't remember who the girls' names are. Like, there's just going to be so many of them. And all of these seasons. And so you keep doing the back-to-back stuff, and it's hard for someone to, like, catch their breath, have their rain or whatever. And my conspiracy theory still stands that if Trinity ends up winning, that there may be some intentional psychological, like push-through to get into the next season to avoid, like, everybody.
The backlash.
Right.
To avoid the shitstorm that's going to probably come down. And I'm not, I'm personally, and I'll just go ahead and say it, to me it's TV, and I do care, but I don't like care. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to be up on the like internet, like calling out shit and like asking for receipts and all that stuff. That's not going to be me in regards to this.
Right.
I will happily read and see what happens, but like for me, it's not, I'm not that invested. While we do this show, to me, this is fun.
Right.
You know, I'm enjoying myself and I love watching the show. So by extension, this is that. I'm not going to be one of those ones that's going to be like, what the hell's going on? Like, and like, yeah, that's not, because that's not me.
Well, I mean, as the saying goes, it's drag. It's not that serious. Like, yes, it is some people's livelihoods, but that's because they choose to make it a career. They choose to make it like their income source, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But all of these girls are okay. They're okay today. They were okay before the season aired. Like, you know what I mean? Before the season recorded. One of them is going to end up with a $100,000 check. That's fine. But, like, some of the shit that just keeps happening with the fandom that I read about, you know, in the vitriol and blah, 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 and all the threats and shit. Like, now, more than ever, every single queen keeps speaking up at every public engagement, shaming the people that are misbehaving, like, that are being, like, rude online and saying things that do not need to be said. Like, even mm-hmm. Manila in Review with a Jew, like, was talking about this very issue that yeah. she kind of, in my opinion, gave a half-assed answer on this when Miss Cracker kind of talked to her about this very issue, that Manila's fandom, you know, was upset and blah, blah, blah. And Manila's like, I just think higher of people. Like, I think that my fans, my true fans are better than this. And therefore, mm-hmm. they're not the issue. Well, while that yeah. may be true, and you don't feel that you necessarily have to tell the people to shut the fuck up and back off or whatever, you got to be careful because you're kind of walking the Valentina line in mm-hmm. that reunion when she got called out and she was like, well, I'm not responsible for my fandom. And then all the rest yeah. of the cast was like, hold up. Bitch,
you are. Like, and I will. I just think this. It just one of my things. Like, I kind of like say this. Well, actually, I think I just spill it. Like, the way I feel about it. Like, fans suck, can suck, and I know you have no ability to control what people do. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you do have some control. Like, flat, point blank, period. You can call it out like it is.
Right.
That's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay.
Right.
Do not ever do that again. Do never come to my shows or whatever. You know, like they, you can right. be bitchy to me as much as you want to be and call it bitchy or whatever, but you can right. call this shit out. And I think you need to, because the fans need to understand that you do not tolerate this shit.
And I think what everyone's sorry.
No. Like, that's my biggest thing has been like you have other queens calling out other queens for like not calling out the fans, like, and are having to call out the fans. We need, like, fans need to be better. It's not the end of the world,
right?
It will never be the end of the world for these girls. So, like, calm your fucking asses down. Like, this is not like Manila going home in her season. Yes, it was a ballsy move by Naomi to do it. It was a game move. It was totally strategic. I get it. That is not a reason to be calling people names, calling people outside their names, beyond
right.
their names,
right.
and calling and going that like very just like derogatory, almost racist route, like right. with things. I haven't seen everything, but I've been seeing these things coming out, and I'm like, mm-hmm. this is a fucking show. This is, you know, like, it ain't that, like, oh, it right. ain't that serious. Like,
right.
Like, come on.
And so, oh. like Eric said in the chat, the thing that he said was, the fandom is so crude, I don't think WoW or Rue can honestly win, no matter whoever wins. Meaning, no matter who ends up winning any season, they're always probably yeah. going to be the bad guy because someone's yeah. going to be put out. Someone's pussy's mm-hmm. going to be hurt because their person didn't win. And that may be true. But you know what hasn't yeah. happened yet necessarily? I haven't necessarily seen a queen flip the fuck out like RuPaul has three times in all these seasons. There uh-huh. are times when Mama Ru comes out like the scorpion that she is.
Uh-huh.
And when that shit happens, everybody freaks the fuck out. People mm-hmm. do not know how to handle when the stinger comes flying at you. And mm-hmm. we saw it
yeah.
when, you know, Nina Bonina left and mm-hmm. walked off. And that
Oh, you mean not Nina, you mean the Vixen.
Yeah, sorry. I knew I got that wrong as soon as I said it. So my apologies. So when the Vixen left and they had that whole discussion and Rue got really animated and we talked about it since then, and there's been all this like this online thing about, you know, Rue stepping outside of her bounds and talking about shit that wasn't really relevant and, you know, making a comparison about the Vixen's life versus her, like all this kind of stuff. Those moments, though, I haven't really seen from any queen, especially any winners. And this isn't a criticism. It's just an observation that no one's gone that far, I think, to kind of take the crown off and set it to the side and literally point the finger like you're talking about and say, all you mofos out here pulling these shenanigans, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
And I'm seeing like some things from Bob. Like if you follow Bob the Drag Queen on Twitter, you're seeing some of her like calling some shit out. And I'm so happy for her doing that. I know we've kind of, sorry, everyone, we've kind of like gone down the track, but we, you know, we'll get back to the show in a minute. Like, I think this is important. But, you know, again, like the question usually becomes like who polices, you know, who's the one to kind of do who's right or who's wrong and who gets to call out. And I think honestly, like you said, it needs to be some of the queens that have been on the show, have won the show to kind of start saying shit. You know, we've had like a Raven moment. I think Raven has been one of these ones that's kind of done something along those lines. We've had a few with others. Like, I would love it. And this is just me personally. I would love it if a Shangela kind of said like something. I would love it if like a Latrice, someone who has been in the game and knows it all and kind of can do it and then say something about it without glossing over it.
Right. And that's just it. I think they need to be direct and to the point. I would love if someone went on a campaign and at every performance going forward, they always made the same type of statement. If Latrice got on the mic or Manila got on the mic or Trixie, anybody, and said consistently, I have one thing to say. You are not a member of my fandom if you behave in such irreprehensible ways. Get your shit together. If you're going to be my fan, then you're going to be courteous, you're going to be kind, and you're going to accept the fact that life is not always fair and you don't get things to always go your way. So be gracious for the fact that you even got a goddamn show to watch, let alone who won. Like, you know what I mean? But I don't see anybody going that. And I get it. It's a delicate balance. It's entertainment. It's an income. And you don't want to piss people off and blah, blah, blah. But
it becomes it's very much like, it's a, like you said, it's a very much a balancing act. And I think with each queen and each show as we go along, we'll figure, like, I think we're starting to figure it out. I think queens starting now are starting to call things out, and I get that, but we have to also agree, like, we can't stop playing, we can't keep kowtowing to the fans. I understand if they're your, sometimes they're your bread and butter, but like, when people are dicks, are bitches, are rude, are insensitive, are insulting, are racist, are transphobic, are any of those other like things that you like, you kind of have to say something, because if you don't say something, then you're just being part of the problem.
And this is the way I look at it. And I get that it's a challenge. If you see someone literally in front of you physically committing a hate crime, you can either decide to do something about it or not do anything. Mm-hmm. And to me, the parallel is if it's happening in social media, yes, there's a disconnect because it's not physical, like it's not in person, but it doesn't mean that it's any less damaging in terms of a person's like well-being and how they handle themselves mentally. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just one of the craziest things about this is that, you know, people start sleuthing and, you know, revealing shit and like, I mean, there have been queens, and I'm not naming them, but it's well documented that have revealed cell phone numbers of other queens in their online spats and like home addresses. I mean, just crazy shit. And when that stuff starts to happen, I'm like when that went down in the past, I fully expected Mama Rue to come forward and be like, bitch, I take back your crown. I take back your title. That is not how you behave. Not in my house. And I'm still surprised in a way that that did not happen. And I think that more of that kind of harsh like line needs to be drawn for people to recognize like, no, you stepping out. Ain't no. Gonna give you an ass whooping verbally or something. Ain't got time for that.
Yeah. So, having said all that,
would you like to move on and talk about our staffs and eye rolls?
We should probably move on.
All right. Woo.
Ladies and gentlemen,
sorry, folks, we had
start
to get
your
on that
engines
high horse.
And may the best all-star win.
So may the best all-star win. David, what are your snaps?
Sorry, folks, we had to go on that rant.
That's all right.
So for me, my snaps honestly go to Miss Monique and Miss Monet for their runway looks. I think they did a really awesome job with the idea of Cacator. Monet's Pink Panther, I loved it. I've actually now went to her Twitter and found the picture that you were talking about earlier. I love the kind of adding additions that she did to it to kind of make it even more like Panther-esque. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So yay for her and that kind of decision. Monique's one I love just because it just screamed the idea of a cat and the Puss in Boots kind of thing. I loved it. I loved that it was oversized. I loved that it was dramatic. It worked for me. Kudos. Snaps to you both.
For me, the snaps, I left this blank for the longest time, and then it finally realized the one moment that I got the most excited, and that was the return of the Hall of Fame Queens. In the preview for the coming week, Chad and Alaska and Trixie come walking out side by side for the crowning ceremony, and I was like, yay! Like, I got so excited. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. Like, yeah. That's the part that got me the most excited was the three of them for next week. So that's my snaps. David, what are your eye rolls?
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about some, you know, things that happen. My eye rolls, unfortunately, are for Latrice's delusion, and I'm going to talk a bit about this. I don't know what's been going on with her this season. I expected so much more from her this entire game. I expected Latrice to win. Latrice is a very, you know, well-beloved queen. She has done really awesome. She made it to the top of her, near the top of her season when it was, you know, several years ago. I get that it's been a while, but still, she made it pretty far. And, you know, she had a falling with the All-Stars, but I don't think that was necessarily her fault. I think that was more what they decided to do with All-Stars 1. Pairing them off, whatever, that just never kind of works for me. But this season, this go-around, this chance and opportunity to redeem yourself in several ways faltered for me. I think I was expecting so much more out of you. I was expecting you to slay. I've seen what you've done this season. And honestly, I just feel like you could have done so much more. And I think you were, I don't know if you were distracted by the fact that you're about to get married. I don't know if you were, you know, just like in your own head, like I can just walk into this thing and win and get it to the end. Cause again, that's to me the delusion, whatever it was. I feel like it was shattered very quickly. You weren't doing well in the challenges. You weren't winning. You ended up in the bottom and you went home once.
Right.
You were able to bring yourself back. Kudos to you for doing that. You had a very great, you know, return.
Right.
Good for you. But now here we are, and the challenge is Kitty Cat or Cat Couture. And you bring us this mismatched, hand-painted gown outfit where, wow, maybe on the runway or maybe in a, like, safari themed or jungle themed like contest or whatever, it would have worked really well. This did not work, and I don't know why you don't understand why it didn't work.
Right.
Again, by comparison, look at what was going on around you.
Right.
This was not. It just no.
And the only thing I want to say about that, Damon, is possibly she knew all of that in the moment, but for camera, had to put on the best face possible.
Maybe.
Like, she may very well have recognized and looked around and been like, well, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is probably going to land me in the bottom. And that's not cool. But fuck
yeah.
Like, I love it anyways. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that could be a really hard spot to be in, to recognize that you just didn't deliver enough. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be a challenge. So for me, eye rolls. I already talked about this, so I don't really have to get into it because I already said it once, but I'll just bear repeating. Michelle's mouse ears comment. It's Pink Panther, bitch. Get your shit together. Like, yeah.
I don't know where it was coming from. I just don't know. I was very much shocked that she didn't recognize the character, or she didn't get what was going on. And I will say this much, and just to kind of not necessarily give Michelle a bit of an out, the Pink Panther is not that dark of a pink. But that's the only kind of like thing going for it.
Right.
Pink Panther is a very light pink, and the other side is a lighter pink. So it's just two light shades of pink, whereas Monet's outfit was a dark pink with a lighter, very lighter pink in the middle kind of thing.
Right.
Having said all that, it's a Pink Panther.
I know. And here's the thing. I get it. Michelle's the bad judge. She's the Simon Cowell. She always has to be critical. She has to give some negative feedback, and that's the sound clip that they used. She doesn't hate Monet Exchange. I understand that. But just for the sake of, like, my own sanity, fuck off. It was the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
That said, it's time to wrap up, Katie girls. It was a lively show tonight. If you have anything that you want to say to us, you could go to our blog, cubsoutloud.com, and you could leave a comment there. You could send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com, or best yet, you could give us a voicemail message. You just have to call 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Leave a kitty cat message. We would be happy to play it on the show. On social media, if you want to get in touch with us, you go to Cubs Out Loud anywhere. Just type it in. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that jazz. If you would like to join the social chat that we got going for the Entourage over on Telegram, you would go to tinyurl.com/telegram-coldr. And you can join those kittens over there who are posting shit while we're live on the episode tonight about shorts with wing-wangs bouncing all around. You'll catch up in a moment, Damon. If you want to support COL, you could do it two ways. You could go to zazzle.com/cubsoutloud and you can get some merch. We have all sorts of different designs that are available there. And if you want to, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/cubsoutloud and you can donate as little as $1 a month to help support us and pay for the domain hosting, all that kind of jazz, those fees that come along with it. If you want to help promote COL, we would appreciate that as well, because COLDR is a part of that. You can go to iTunes and rate us. You can subscribe on Google Play. You can give us a thumbs up, leave us 5 stars, you know, all that jazz. Damon, if they would like to get in touch with you specifically, how would they do that?
If you wish to find me, you can find me at TheaterCub79 on most bear-related sites, or you can find me as Pup_Umber on Twitter.
And if you would like to get in touch with me, just type in GareBear73 somewhere, anywhere. It might be me. Hopefully it's me. And that's GareBear73. And with that, there is one more lap to go in this race. Final episode is coming up this coming Friday. We'll see what happens. In the meantime,
I'm going to be in Lexington. I'm going to have to find some way to watch it. We're going to do it.
You know, like, there's going to be an earthquake. Just be prepared at, like, 8:59 Eastern, I think. There's going to be an earthquake. How big the earthquake is will give you the understanding of who won, probably. In fact, in the hotel, you'll probably hear a lot of screaming, hollering, hooting, carrying on of some sort at about that minute. So, in the meantime, everybody, just remember, as RuPaul says, we are all born naked and the rest is drag. Yeah.